This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. What are you doing? Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask now in a special way that you would open our ears, we may hear, our minds, we may understand, our hearts, that we might believe. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak that we, your servants, might hear and then do what you've called us to do in times like these. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for guiding us and keeping us. And God, no matter what's going on in our lives right now, speak to us. We need a word from you, God. So have your way. And we'll praise you all the days of our life. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? Oh, no, that's not rhetorical right now. I'm asking, what are you doing? What you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. Somebody say, well, Pastor, we're watching you. All right, but we're talking about in life. In life. Every day. In life. What's your life about? What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? We sometimes get upset when people ask us that. Yeah. People call you. You know, it used to be a time it wasn't that. And but people call you, first thing they ask you, what you doing? What you mean what I'm doing? I'm talking to you. You just called me. Well, what were you doing? What you doing? People would ask us that. What are you doing? And many times people ask you what you're doing just because of habit. They don't really care what you're doing. They don't really think it's anything about it. They just say, what you doing? Just, you know, we think for being nosy and all that kind of stuff. And there are some people who do want to know because they are being nosy. Yes, that's true. When they ask, what are you doing? But most times they don't care. They just asking. But for us as Christians, that's a great question. Those of us who love the Lord, those who are called by his name, that's a great question. And we ought to have a great answer. And it ought to be an honest answer. Don't have to make something up when we ask, what are you doing? Years ago, Reverend Roscoe Fitzgerald Perry, my first son in the ministry, Reverend Roscoe Perry had this thing of impersonating people when he called you. Now, I know I'm dating myself now because we're talking about before you had cell phones and you could actually see who's calling you. But he would call you on the house phone, and he would impersonate people such as Reverend Jesse Jackson or the mayor, you know, or some celebrity. He would just impersonate people and call you and say, you know, this is Reverend Jesse Jackson. You know, what you doing? And ask things like that. So one day, I answered the phone, and again, house phone before we had cell phones. If any of you can remember those days before we had cell phones, some of y'all remember that, all right? And I answered the phone at home, and the voice said, Reverend Tillman, this is the governor's office. The governor would like to speak to you. What are you doing? And I said, oh, here come Roscoe again. I said, yeah, right, governor office. I'm chilling. What you think I'm doing? And then they said, hold, please. And the governor said, Pastor Tillman, we'd like for you to serve on the committee. I said, oh, this the governor. Oh, my goodness, this is the governor. And I realized then, you know, after he finished talking about what he wanted me to do, I then realized that I had to say, Governor, could you please apologize to your staff for me? Because they asked me what I'm doing. I basically told them none of their business because I didn't think it was you. And I explained about who Reverend Roscoe Perry was and all that. And I called Reverend Perry, and he just died laughing. He just died. He thought it was so funny. But it's important to know that there are those who will ask you what you're doing, and it is their business. You know, it is their business. Folk will call and ask you. God is constantly calling us, and he's constantly asking us, what are we doing? What are you doing? We may not have recognized his voice, but it's him. We may not have recognized when he's asking us, and maybe asking us through other individuals, just what are you doing? Think about the things you have done. Think about the places you've gone. Think about the things you have said. Think about the folk you've hurt. Think about the folk who've hurt you and then you hurt them back. Just think about all of that. And then a voice rises up in you and say, what are you doing? You know you love God. You know this is not the way you're supposed to act. You know this is not the stuff you ought to be doing. What are you doing? And we will and we must one day give an account of our stewardship. So it's very important that we begin and can answer the question, what are you doing? Too many people are just way off the grid, doing whatever they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, with very little consideration of what God wants. Not really caring about what God wants or what God thinks or what will happen when it's all over down here, but the end is sure to come, and it's coming sooner than we think. What are we doing? And it's not so much of just the people who could care less about what God thinks, who may not know God, but the question is for those of us who know God. It's for those who are called by his name. We have been called to do God's work. And what is God's work? It's good work. Yeah, we have been called. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And I know we understand that. We've heard that all through last year, that we ought to do good works, and God has so ordained that we would do good works. But if God has ordained that we would do good works, we need to make up in our minds that we're going to be obedient to God's will and do the work he's called us to do. When we need to hang in there. We are to do good, as the scripture says, unto all men, unto all people. Yes, that's what the word of God teaches us. This is how we let our light shine. This is how God gets glory, when we're doing those things that God would have us to do. It is not only by our words that we witness to the lost, but also by our works. Not just our words, but also our works. In fact, our works pave the way for our verbal witness. Let me say it again. Our works pave the way for our words. In other words, if you want others to come to know Christ, they're looking at what you do. They may hear what you say, but they're looking at what you do and how you act and how you respond to them and how you respond to others. And because they're looking at us, we have to make up our minds. We want them to see Christ in us. And then if they can see Christ in us, then they're ready to listen to what we have to say about what does save the Lord. Oh, yes, we're going to this year. We're going to really do everything we can to win the lost for Christ. We're going to go out of our way to make sure that those who don't know him will come to know him, because that's what God is calling us to do. We must use our works to pave the way for our witness. It's not a question of asking, does this person deserve my good works? No, that's not the question. No, do good to everyone. We have to ask the question then, do we deserve what God has done for us? Do we deserve how he's forgiven us, how he loved us, how he protects us, how he gave his only son for us? Paul teaches us in Colossians 1, all things were created by God and created for God. You need to hear that. Everything that was created by God and for God. Even though we use God's creation, many times we use God's creation in such a way that we want it to benefit just us. But everything that was created by God and for God, that he might get praise, honor, and glory. We must remember that what we do with our material things is an evidence of how we value spiritual things. Woo! Let me say that again. Somebody might be getting ready to tweet something. Tweet this. Yeah, put this down there. What we do with material things is an evidence of how we value spiritual things. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Yeah. If you want to look at what's really important to you, just take a look at your bank account. and look at where most of your stuff goes. Yeah, look at it. It find out where who your God is. Yeah, you can just look at what you spend toward. How much are you helping others? How much are you giving to the cause of Christ? And how much is it just you and yours? God's word is so powerful to us. So the word is asking us, so what are you doing? Because the Apostle Paul wanted us to realize how important this is, he gives us the basic principle of sowing and reaping. It's found throughout the entire Bible. God has ordained that we reap what we sow. We will reap what we sow. Were it not for this law, the whole principle of cause and effect would fall. The farmer who sows wheat expect to reap wheat. If you plant an apple seed, you expect to get apples. If you plant an orange seed, you expect to get oranges. So it's how it goes. You will reap what you don't plant one thing and expect something else to come up. The world would be in chaos if that happened. A carnal believer will sacrifice what he has to make the work more successful, only to discover that he's sowing to the flesh and not to the spirit. After Paul gives us this principle, we begin to see something. He says there's a reward coming. There's something coming if you just hang in there. He says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Behind this promise is a peril. Is that getting weary in the work of the Lord and then eventually fainting and stopping your ministry. Yeah, he says, let us not get weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It almost tends to suggest that you have the propensity to stop. You have the propensity to give up. You have the propensity to not hang in there and do everything God has you do. In other words, you do some of the things, but don't go all the way to receive what God has in store for you. So seeing that we want to continue to do the work God has called us to do, let's look at three things that could help us to answer with confidence, what are you doing? Sometimes spiritual fainting and the desire to quit is caused by a lack of devotion to the Lord. Notice 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The answer for what are we doing can be seen in the Thessalonian church. They had a work of faith, a labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. Not just work, not just labor, not just steadfastness, but they had the proper motivation, faith, love, and hope. How easy it is to do the Lord's work if we would do it with the right motivation. How easy it is to work as God would have us do if the right motivation is behind what we're doing. If we're doing it through faith, if we're doing it through patience, if we're doing it through love. What are you doing? First, we ought to be reading and studying God's word. It is also possible to faint or to quit because of a lack of nourishment. Think about it. If you don't eat, you're going to quit working. You will become too weak to work. You would literally and could literally die without proper nourishment. Think about it. You need to eat in order to have the energy to do the work. Anybody out there know what I'm talking about? You need to eat. Yeah, you need to eat. You need to eat. Yeah. You need to eat. You might not need to eat that much, but you do need to eat. Amen. Yeah. And you know this? We like to eat every day. Y'all ever notice that? We like to eat every day. Some folk all day, but we like to eat. Yeah, we do. We like to eat. But we realize it's necessary for us to eat in order to have the strength to do the work that we ought to do. You just need to have the strength for your physical body to be able to continue to do what it's going to do. If we don't eat, we will quit working. Yes. We will be too weak to work. We could literally die. So just think about it. Just like we need physical food, we must have our spiritual food. And that's the word of God. Matthew 4:4 says, when Jesus said, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Whew, hallelujah. Yes, that's our substance. That's what we eat. That's what we allow God to move in us. We're reading his word. We're studying his word. We're allowing his word to study us and to read us. And we'll be able to get the wisdom and the knowledge we need to be able to do the work God has called us to do. We try to keep going. If we try to keep going without proper food and rest, we will faint. If we try to keep going without reading God's word, we will get weak and we will quit. You will quit if you do not have the sustenance that's needed from the word of God to keep you going. Letting you know, sometimes people get on your last nerve and you say, well, I don't know what to do. What the word of God says to us clearly, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, false for my sake. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. The Bible will speak to us in those times we don't know what's going to happen. If God be for you, who can be against you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. God will speak to you and let you know. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. If you read and study God's word will help you through everything you're going through and will help you to do the work God has called you to do right now, and you're hanging there. Praise his holy name. First thing we're doing, what are you doing? We should be reading and studying. Secondly, we should be praying. Sometimes we faint or we quit because of the lack of prayer. Yeah. Jesus says in Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint and not to quit and not to give up. Prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. Yeah, prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. So now I need to pause right here, because somebody might have kind of paused off to sleep a little bit, because you're kind of laying down while you're watching worship. You kind of pause off right there. But prayer, understand this. Prayer is to the spiritual life what breathing is to the physical life. How long are you going to live without breathing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somebody trying it right now. Don't play now. Yeah. But if you hold your breath long enough, and if you don't breathe long enough, you're going to end up fainting. Yeah. And if something causing you to not breathe, you end up dying. Yeah. You got to have breath. Listen. You have to breathe in order to live. You have to breathe in order to work. You have to breathe in order to allow God to get what God needs to get in you, in order to do the work God has you to do. You have to breathe. But in order to breathe, you understand, is spiritually we need to be in prayer. We need to constantly be talking to God. I'm not talking about some formula you have to have that this is the only way you can pray, the only thing you say. No, constantly you need to be talking to God, because he's closer than a brother. He's a friend that loves you. He cares for you. You ought to be praying in such a way that you're saying, God, I need you every hour, every day, every moment, every second. You ought to take time to pray. If you're taking time to call your best friend, you're taking time to call your boo, you're taking time to call somebody who you think got the answer and can help you through what you're going through. You calling folk because you know they're going to be as upset as you are about what you're upset about. They know you're going to be just as mad as they are, and now you can get them to get on your side and be mad too. But before you call them, I want to tell you, just call Jesus. Somebody hear me on the day. Take time to talk to the Lord. Take time to say, God, I need you. This is what I'm going through. This is what the trial is. This is what the tribulation is. And as you're praying and you're reading God's word, you'll find out something miraculous will happen, that you'll find out many times all that stuff that we worried about, concerned about, what the other folk doing, how the situation is, you'll find out it's not them, it's not it, it's you. Oh my goodness, did I say that? Yeah, you'll find out it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You come to a realization that God is working in us and working on us in such a special way so we could do the work he's called us to do. And he's calling us to do a great work. He's calling us to do it. Yes, we need to breathe. We need to pray every day of our lives in every special way that God will get praise, honor, and glory. But not only must we keep reading God's word, not only must we keep praying, but we must also keep waiting. Yes, we must keep waiting. What do you mean, Pastor? We must be patient. We must be steadfast. You have to hang in there. Don't give up. Do not stop doing the work God has called you to do. No matter how dark it seems, no matter how difficult it might become, don't compromise and begin to say, well, this church stuff, this loving God stuff ain't working. This me trusting other people, this me, my trust in God, yeah. My trust in God and loving people not working. But as long as you trust God, you understand it's going to work. It's already working. Because we know that it works for your good. It works for the benefit of you. And just look at what happens. It will work for the benefit of others. You got to hang in there. You got to continue to stay steadfast in hope, knowing that God still makes a way out of no way. It is very important to wait on the Lord to get the strength that we need for each and every day. Be patient in your praying. Be patient in your reading. Be patient in your studying. Look at what Isaiah chapter 40 tells us. Beginning of verse 28, see. Have you not heard? Have you not known? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait, somebody say, they who wait, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. God has given us a promise that if we do it as he would have us to do it, he says, in due season, we shall reap if it faint not. I don't know what season you're in, but keep trusting God. You keep planting those good seeds, and the season is coming. The season of harvest is coming. You keep trusting God with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. I know you're smart. I know you're intelligent. I know you've gotten some school education. I know you've done some things and some people told you some wise things. But whatever folk have told you is not wiser than what God is telling you. Whatever folk have told you is not wiser than what the Word of God says to you. I know sometimes the Word of God seems like it's not working in your favor. Sometimes it seems like God is not hearing your prayer. Sometimes it seems like God does not care about you. But nothing can be further from the truth. The Bible lets us know that he loves us and he cares for us. And he doesn't just say it. He's already done it. Pastor, what has he done? He sent his son to 42 generations. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves me. Not because you love God. Not because you're connected with the church. Not because your friends are connected with the church. Not because your family is connected with Jesus. But because of you. If there was nobody but you, he would have died for you. That's how much he loves. I don't care who don't like you. I don't care who doesn't care about you. I don't care who calls you all kind of names. You need to know God loves you. God cares about you. That's why he came. That's why he lived. That's why he went about doing good. That's why he allowed men to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, with a crown of thorns on his head. That's why our Lord and Savior died. Woo! While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. And early on that third day, the Bible says he got up with power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Don't miss this. After he ascended into heaven, 10 days later, he sent back the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who guides us, who directs us, who will ask you every day, what are you doing? He asks us in the time when we think that nobody knows what we're doing, he'll say, what are you doing? And it's my prayer that you can say, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm praying, and I'm waiting because I know you love me. I'm waiting. I'm not getting out of who you call me to be. I'm going to still love. I'm going to still share. I'm going to still give. I'm going to still walk as you want me to walk. I'm going to talk like you want me to talk. I'm going to live like you want me to live because I'm trusting you every day of my life. And by doing that, He said, you will reap a harvest. Just don't quit. Keep trusting God. What are you doing? I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep trusting God. There may be those today who are watching this broadcast, maybe those who are listening today, somebody who you shared with, and somebody shared this with you, and you didn't know we were coming on, and you saw it shared with you, but somebody shared it with you for a purpose. We want you to know right now that all you have to do is commit your life to Christ. You say, Lord, I've sinned. I've come short. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. The Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. Let that pause right for a second. If you shall confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. I know many people try to put a lot of other stipulations on you, make you do all kind of things to tell you that this is what it takes to be saved. But just know that if you can trust God with your salvation and admit that we've sinned. Now, everybody admit to that. We all have sinned and come short. And the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I'm going to pray a prayer with you that you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you believe that he died for your sins, rose from the grave, if you're willing to turn from your sins and allow God to take first place in your life, you can be saved right now. And those of you who are saved, please pray for others who are watching and listening and on the broadcast who may not know Christ. Please take time right now to pray that they may come to Christ right now. The power of prayer, I'm telling you, power of prayer. If you want to accept Christ right now, please repeat these words after me. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, make sure that you take time to let us know. You can call us at 912-233-6597. Leave a message for us. We'll get back with you. Or you can contact us through our Facebook. Contact through Facebook. Also, you can contact us through our website at firstafricanbc.com. We thank God for you. We ask God to continue to guide, direct, and bless you that his will might be done. Please remember all of our observations. We'll see you on Tuesday night. We're praying that God would ever guide, direct, keep, and strengthen us. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, magnify your name. We thank you for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, our hearts have felt. Strengthen us on our journey, God, that we would not faint, that we would not quit, that we would not give up, that what we are doing is what is pleasing in your sight and led by you. Guide us, keep us, strengthen us, God, as we seek to do everything the way you called us to do it. We thank you and we love you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. God, we're asking that you will order our steps in your word, God. As we trust your word, we will order our steps in you. So guide us and keep us. Now we ask the grace of God, the love of Jesus, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, with the rest of the Bible, says, now, henceforth, and forevermore, evermore, have your way, God, in us. Order our steps in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.